Well, morning, everybody. Let's start in Acts 17. We'll just do a quick review, just a very quick review, just a quick pass over a few different thoughts. And we'll catch up on this thing of having devotions. There's a paragraph mark there at verse 22, so Acts 17 and verse 22. Well, let's pray first. Father, help us here this morning, and may God these things be a help to your people, and may God they have a closer walk with thee. May God they know thee. Lord, they might know thee in reality. Father, in sincerity and in truth, may, Lord, you work in each of us, that, Father, our walk with thee, our relationship with thee would grow and deepen and strengthen. Help us, Lord, here this morning to speak and to hear, and we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. Verse 22, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive in all things ye are too superstitious. For I passed by, and I beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. We looked at that thought of devotions as being a practices of religion. It might be a Bible reading, it might be attending a meeting. It's different things. It could worship around an altar. And Paul said that I perceive that you're superstitious. You're having devotions to an unknown God, a God that you don't know. You're ignorantly worshiping. So later down through that passage there, from verses 24 through 31. He talks about the God who they ought to be worshipping and made known the unknown God to them. So we started looking at the idea of devotions. It's for our devotion's sake. Then we thought of our quiet time. It's a time of quietening ourselves that we might listen to the Lord. We also considered it called spending time with the Lord. Those three terms become synonymous. Having my devotions, my quiet time, I'm spending time with the Lord. I'm going to spend time with the Lord as against spending time doing something else. I'm going to put in some time, just me and the Lord, and get to know Him and learn from Him and to grow. Then we looked at the thought there of when to have it. And I said, well, morning, I believe morning is a good time to have devotion. Just like your breakfast overnight, we haven't eaten, we break the fast by having something to eat. So too spiritually, we wake up, let's start the day with the Lord and have something from His word. The bread of life, it's called water, it's bread, honey, different things the Bible is likened to. It's good for us to start the day with something from the Lord before we get into our day. I'm sure you've noticed, once you get into your day, all these things start crowding in and yelling for your attention. And if you don't make it a priority to do it up front, I'll do it later, I'll do it later, I'll do it later. And we just, why do it today when we can do it tomorrow? Well, let's do it tomorrow, and we'll start tomorrow. It's just, we are experts at finding excuses. We are so slick at coming up for reasons why we don't do stuff. We're tremendous. We don't need training. We come up. No one teaches a kid when he goes to school, when he doesn't do his homework, that the dog ate it. It just comes natural. I forgot. The chickens got it. The homing pigeon flew off with it. They come up with stuff all the time, and you say, I've got to write this stuff down. Like, where did you get that from? When it comes to our walk with the Lord and our devotions, it's easy for us just to put it aside. Oh, look, this is more important. I need to take care. Once we realize my meeting with the Lord each morning, each day, that is the most important meeting. Now, if you say, look, I really don't want to do it in the morning, I prefer doing it evening, I'm not going to stop you. I'm glad you're doing devotions. I'm not the guru, I'm not the oracle, I'm just following some Bible principles. But if you say, night times work good for me, great. Great. If it's productive and it's profitable, your walk with the Lord is growing, great. I like doing it at noon. Great. The idea is, having devotions, time with the Lord, spending time with Him, learning of Him, communing with Him, that is the key. So I'm following that thought of breakfast and doing these things. But it comes down to, if we would honour the Lord, the last part we looked at, if we would honour the Lord with our time and with our heart, with the devotion of our heart, if we would honour Him with that, He will honour us. And He will come and meet with us and show and reveal Himself and spend that time. So we got down to this thought now of how do we have devotions. So we spent time looking at the heart side of it, the unseen side, the heart. Our heart's attitude is more important. Why? My relationship with the Lord, my heart relationship with the Lord is more important than anything else. So we looked at that for our relationship sake, the benefits. We've gone through those things. How do we have devotions? Well, for our devotions, once you've found a quiet spot, you got everything done, I would say there's five things that's good to have for your devotions. That'd be your Bible, a devotional book, a hymnal, a prayer list, pen and paper. And you'll find that you can use those things during your time with the Lord. Your Bible, a devotional book, a hymnal, a prayer list, and pen and paper. So find a quiet place. You know, sometimes your place isn't that quiet. Have you noticed that? My place isn't that quiet. Sometimes I go sit out in the yard. I've got a squatter's chair. I move the squatter's chair out on the grass in the backyard. I get in the shadow of the fence, of our back fence, it's a 6-foot fence, and I get down that shadow and it's nice and quiet out in the yard. Unless the neighbours are cuffing over the back fence, it's a quiet spot. I'll sit out there have some time in the afternoon with the Lord. I have devotions in the morning. I'll spend some time there with a coffee and a book, just spend some time. Find a quiet place, as quiet place as you can find it, where you're not going to be interrupted. I think it was Susanna Wesley. She had 18 kids. One of the ladies, can you help me? Some phenomenal amount of kids. Was it Susanna Wesley? And she'd sit in a rocking chair, and when she lifted her apron up and put it over her head, her children knew, don't mess with Mama. You know, Mama's having some time with the Lord. And she just lifted it up and over. Find what works for you. But having found your quiet place, you got what you need. Firstly, start with prayer. Think of a sandwich. You're gonna, with your devotional time, you start and finish with prayer. You've got a filling in the middle. When you start with prayer, it's just simple prayer. You just want to invite the Lord to meet with you, to help you through that devotional time, to speak to your heart. I sometimes pray, God, please help me not to miss what you have for me this morning. Asking, please help me not to miss. God, I don't want to miss you this morning. Have you ever teed up meeting with somebody and then there's miscommunication there and you never did quite catch up? Well, so too with the Lord. You don't want to miss the Lord through miscommunication. Lord, I'm setting aside this time this morning. Please help me. Please meet with me. Lord, if you have something for me, Lord, I want to hear it. I want to make sure I don't miss it. Commit the time to the Lord. Lord, this is a time I'm setting aside. Lord, I want to spend this time with you. As much as possible, you put aside the distractions. You put them aside. You just focus. Lord, it's just you and me. You and me. I don't want to go doing that. Commit the time to the Lord, realizing that it is important, an integral part of your day to start it with God. You don't know what's coming up today. Have you ever considered what could come up in your day? You get one of those phone calls, and it's not the phone call that you want to hear. Someone's sobbing on the other end. What's wrong? What's wrong? You don't know what sort of phone call you're going to get. You don't know if there's some intense temptation that comes your way to knock you out of the fight, to stop you from living for Jesus Christ. You don't know what's coming up. Lord, I need this time with you today because I don't know what's coming up in my day. And Lord, I commit my day to you. Ask him, sometimes I ask him to quicken my mind and body. I've gone to bed late the night before. I haven't had a really good sleep. Lord, please quicken me. Quicken my mind and my body so I don't miss it. And Lord, if I have to go to sleep after this, you know, get a poppy nap, I'll take a poppy nap. But Lord, right now, help me not to miss you. And you just start with prayer. You just keep it simple. It's one of preparation. It's just something, Lord, I'm starting with prayer. I'm starting with you. Because we go out into our workplace and we are bombarded by everything else. We are bombarded with their philosophy, with everything that how they live and what they do. But we think, no, I need to be a Christian. I need to live right. I want to walk right. I want to be right with the Lord. I want to make sure that I start it with Jesus Christ. I want to make sure I start the day properly. Number two then, grab your devotional book. Grab a devotional book. This is a pattern I've used for 35 years or something. Have a devotional book. It's good to have a devotional book. The sort of book that I'm meaning, you know, you thought you had to go to school for show and tell. Well, I got a few things here for show and tell. Grab a devotional book. I'll just take top one. My Utmost for His Highest, Oswald Chambers. Who's heard of Oswald Chambers? Sometimes you'll see in the bulletin some quotes from him. The ones I use are basically the same. They've got a text of scripture up the top and just one page, a thought out of that one verse. So it's like a mini sermon. So I read that and then I just read down through it. I've already prayed asking, God, is there something for me? The theme of this book is My Utmost for His Highest. Lord, I want to do my best for your highest glory. Faith Checkbook by Spurgeon. These are all promises. The promises. Faith Checkbook. He's got in the front of it an illustration here you've got a blank check. You just need to present that blank check to the Bank of Heaven. The promises are like that, where you take a Bible promise. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. A Bible promise. So take that promise to the Bank of Heaven, cash it. Lord, your word says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Lord, I need you today. Lord, coming up today, I've got this, that and the other. God, I need you. And you take it and you cash it in. If you've got a signed check, a signed blank check, it's of no use unless you present it at the bank. You could get $1 million out if you would just fill in that blank check and present it. How many promises do we have out of the Word of God that we never cash in? So Spurgeon takes some Bible promises and he just keeps it simple. Again, a verse of Scripture at the top, a portion here, and it's just something to do. A.W. Tozer. This is Renewed Day by Day, Volume 2, so there's Volume 1. These books, except for this one, these three books, I just picked up at the Lifeline Book Fest for, I think, $1 or $2. So you can find them cheap. Spurgeon, Morning and Evening. Linda, our first Christmas together, bought me, not this one, she bought me another one. It's falling apart. But it's like, There's October 7, there's the morning, a reading for the morning and a reading for the evening. So you can have a quiet time, just a devotional thought, morning and evening. He does morning by morning, evening by evening. You can, there are different apps and stuff like that. Mrs. Highland, Miss Leanne, Sister Leanne, Brother Phil's wife, our pastor's wife, however she is to be described. Someone gave this to her, and Brother Phil mentioned it to me. So here we are. Today is May 15, isn't it? I hope. So May 15, This is Andrew Murray. And in the Bible, for May 15, all the way through, you got a reading for the day from Andrew Murray. Then he shows you how to split up reading through the Bible. He has Old Testament, then he has New Testament, and then wisdom literature, from out of Psalms and Proverbs. And he goes all the way through. So there are all sorts that you can take to make us pray, I better be careful not to wreck this, you're going to kill me. Pastor didn't tell her that he gave it to me. I'm messing with you. But the idea is to start the day with some sort of spiritual thought. You're welcome to look at those books. Some thought of spiritual thought. Some books I've read there. I've got others at home. Some books are light and fluffy. You know, nothing to them. Don't help you. My utmost for his highest. I find that heavy going for me of a morning. I enjoy it. I enjoy it later through the day. You know, it sounds like a breakfast cereal, you know. Not too heavy, not too light, just right. You need to find what's just right for you. We're all different. I've used Faith Checkbook. I used it for 2 years in a row. Mere mail. I forgot what I read a year ago. I just read it 2 years. Then I put it down, and about 10 years later I picked it up again and I read it again. And then after that time, it's like the Lord says, that's enough of that book. And I've got others. But find something that's going to help you in your walk with the Lord. Some sort of spiritual truth. So a devotional book will give you that spiritual truth. You don't want too much. You don't want too deep. You want enough just to get you started. I started as a teen. There's devotions for teens, and I think they only come in 1 or 2 month little books. But I went through that several times as a teenager. That would have been one of my first books. I think my auntie gave me that for my birthday or Christmas. Then I went on to devotions for families. Well, whatever I could get back in, you know. What's that, late 70s into the 80s, whatever we could get, you know, I used. So go ahead and take it. Some authors, some devotional books, the author pushes an issue or a hobby horse, an agenda. So be careful of those, because that's what you feed on. And it becomes a part of your day. So you want something balanced. So if you want something like on promises to help you with Bible promises, great, because there's all sorts of promises through the scriptures. But exercise some discernment. Come and talk to me and ask me, ask Pastor, what about this author? What about this? I like the authors from the Philadelphian church period. That's when the church is victorious. They're the ones I like. The one I'm currently using is by F.B. Meyer. It's called Our Daily Homily. It's on my iPad. I could download. I bought the book. There's 5 volumes, and he takes 1 verse from each chapter of Scripture all the way through. And so today it was about Jehu, and is there peace, Jehu? He says, what peace is there? And then the rest of the verse is, as long as thy mother Jezebel. So F.B. Meyer talked about the peace, because peace can be, there's a false peace, like that of absence of conflict. Just because there's an absence of conflict does not mean that there is peace. Then he talked about, then the second part of the little devotional thought was, we need to make sure that nothing is remaining in our lives that's going to cause us to lose peace. So he talked about Jezebel a little bit. Just a few sentences gave me a thought. Okay, that's what I need to keep in mind. Haven't you already heard that before, brother? Yeah. But I need to make sure I'm rightly related to that particular truth today. Not 10 years ago, today. So I spent a few minutes, okay, Lord, is there anything that I ought to address? Lord, is there something that robs me of my peace? And I take that time to reflect on that and think about that and ask, Lord, is there something for me? Sometimes you don't have to ask the Lord to say, that's it. Other times it's, Lord, is there something I ought to be doing that? You'll find some things there in devotions that are exhortive. There could be a warning, could be a rebuke, could be encouraging, could be of comfort. All sorts of things come through in those in different devotional books. That's going to be a help to you. But I would say just make the most of it. Don't just let it pass. In Exodus 16 and verses 19-20, and Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. Remember, we looked at that thought about Moses, and Moses says, you go out and get what you want. He who gathered little had no lack. He who had gathered much had nothing over. So the idea, if you'll just go and get it, God will give you something. But if you leave it till the morning, if you push it aside and leave it, if you don't do something with it, you've missed it. It'll breed worms. You've missed your opportunity to do something with what God's given you. So some things to do when it comes to these things. We'll just be moving through these quickly. Meditate on it. Take some time to meditate. There are other thoughts I've got. If I keep developing everything, we'll never get through. Meditate. Take time to slow down and think upon what you've just read. Be mindful of the truth. Be mindful of it. Take time to put it into your mind. Lord, is there something for me to bear in mind? You may want to memorize that verse of scripture. Memorize it. What is it? Lord, is there something for me? Is there a quote that F.B. Meyer just gave me this morning that I ought to make a note of? Sometimes I'll take something that he said, and I'll cut and paste out of there, and I'll put it with my Bible verse. And I'll link it with it. So next time I'm reading down through there, oh, I've got a quote here. I can do something with it. I don't want to miss the opportunity. So I have something to do with it. Memorize it, put it aside. You know, if we would do some memorization, if we would memorize some things, it helps us to be conformed to Christ, gives us more of that look that we become more like Him. It gives us some. You've got a verse of Scripture. When Jesus was tempted in Matthew 4, verses 1 to 11, Jesus didn't pull out his pocket New Testament, or pocket Old Testament in those days, and say, Satan, man should not live by bread alone. He already had it memorized. He knew it. And it's good for us if we would memorize, put some things in our heart, hide some things there, so when something comes, we're able to do that. If we've already got it in our heart, we can be a source of comfort. Somebody will sometimes ask you something, you've got an answer, but you know, what's that verse say? I wish I had that verse. But if you have that verse memorized, brother, sister, look, this is what helped me. I went through something similar, this is what helped me. And you've got it there. So the idea of putting it, it helps in our witnessing by memorizing these things and spending time with the Lord. You know, that our devotional book, what we read in our devotional book will help mature our Christian lives. That's why church is so important. It is a chance for us to sit still for a few minutes, sit down, shut up, and listen. And we just listen. Okay, pastor preaches, we hear a truth. The question would be, how do I relate to that truth today? Not what it used to be, not what I'm hoping it will be. Lord, how am I related to that truth today? Lord, give me something to do with that, to do it. So something you could do with your devotional thought is make a note of it. Just the title. Make a note of it somewhere. I've stayed in people's homes and they'll have a whiteboard in the kitchen for, you know, buy milk, bread or something, you know, and up the top it might have love one another and a verse and a reference. Just to remind that week, it might be a weekly thing, just to remind the family, okay, love one another. Just so it becomes a part of our life. So the idea there of having devotions, try a devotional book. I don't know if it's really working. Try a devotional book and just see. And just see if God would give you something from that. Now, start with your Bible, devotional book. Start with prayer, devotional book. Read your Bible. Having the scriptures is good. Now, I'll say there are two dangers with using your Bible in your devotional time. Dangers? I thought a Christian's supposed to use his Bible in devotions. Yeah, but it depends on how you use it. There are two ways that are dangerous for your Christian life, for your devotional life with your Bible. Number one, you're following a reading plan. Number two, you study your Bible in devotions. Both will kill your devotional life. Okay? I'm telling you, they will kill your devotional life by following a reading plan, by studying your Bible. They'll kill your devotional life. That you're not going to die spiritually, but your relationship with the Lord is going to get bogged down. A reading plan. I have some reading plans here. I believe so much in reading your Bible through, I went and found some Bible reading plans. You're welcome to look at them, and I've checked with Pastor, we'll run some off for you. Oh yeah, I've tried reading that. By the time I get to Genesis 13, I've just really had enough. I can't read it through. Well, this one here is your 5x5x5 reading plan. 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week, 5 ways to dig deeper, and it gives it to you there. And all it is you read through the New Testament, through the year, 5 days a week. Simple. It's just something to do. This is the one that I use. You read through the Bible, but every day you have New Testament, you have the Gospels, New Testament, Old Testament, and then the poetry books, Proverbs, Psalms, and Job. And so each day you get a portion from each part of the Bible. Something balanced. It'll help you through. This one here is, read your New Testament through, breaks it up. New Testament, a different plan than the first one, because it's 7 days a week. This one here is New Testament with Psalms and Proverbs. It breaks it up. This one here is a historical plan. If you want to read it through historically, as the books were written, here's a plan for that. If you want to read the Bible through chronologically, when events happened, there's that one there. You can read it through. Oh, so Genesis, okay, so creation. Oh, Job's in here now. Yeah, that's right, that's when that happened. And just work through, and that's how that happened. And then this one here is, you got the Gospels. Each week, 7 days in the week, you got Gospels, Law, History, Psalms, Poetry, Prophecy, and Epistles. Another way to read your Bible through. So don't say, Brother Neil doesn't believe in reading your Bible through. He doesn't believe in reading your Bible. I do believe in reading your Bible, but not through your devotional time, because you know what's going to happen? You're going to get up in the morning, you're going to find that quiet spot, and you're going to have your coffee there, nothing like reading your Bible with a cup of coffee, and you sit there and you start, okay, I've got that right, yeah. Tick. 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 Well, thank you, Lord, and off you go. What have you accomplished? You've accomplished getting ticked off. That's what you've accomplished. There's nothing. You've read your Bible, but have you taken time to reflect, to slow down, to talk with the Lord, let Him talk to you? That time sometimes of silence where you just stop. The other one is Bible study. We'll leave these around somewhere. If there's a what do you ever call these sticky things? Post-its. Put your name on it. Have a look, and we'll run some off for you. Okay, not a problem. Here to help. Just trying to get you through. So Bible reading. I do want you to read your Bible, but not read through. I follow my Bible reading plan through my devotional time. I read the Psalms with a devotional book, and I take time in prayer. So I still use it, but later through the day, I'll read different portions. Just a little bit as we go. With Bible study. Years ago, my pastor came to me and he said, "How are you doing?" I said, "Oh, I don't know. I'm feeling flat, you know, a bit bogged down." The first question he asked me was, "How's your devotional life?" I said, well actually, you know, just the other week I made a change and I've been studying the book of James in my devotional time, taking time to slow down and I'm digging this out and looking here and doing that." And he says, "That's your problem. You're you know, not too heavy, not too light, just right. I got so bogged down studying, I was missing the person. I learnt the word, but I missed the person. And more important is the person more than the word. Jesus is the living word, but we focus on the written word. Why? Again, I studied James chapter 1, tick. And we start our ticked off life again, and we just, you feel bogged down. You might not. I felt bogged down, spiritually constipated, you know, some foods just sit real heavy. You eat them, they taste so good. And it's like, man, I can't move. And then you get sleepy, you want to sleep. That's because all your energy is going to your stomach trying to digest that food you've just eaten. It's not Sunday afternoon. You're not allergic to church. You're not allergic to Sunday afternoon. It's a big lunch you have Sunday afternoon, tight, and you're winding down. And it's like, man, I could go to sleep. And off you go to sleep. Two things will kill your devotional time with the word. And that is following a reading plan and studying the word. My best time of study is in the morning. I have my devotional time, and once I have that, I'll have breakfast, I'll go for a walk, and when I come home, then I'll do some study, I'll do some research, I'll do note-taking, message prep, lesson prep, all sorts of stuff like that. But nothing interferes with that devotional time. Because I don't want to get bogged down. I don't want to get sluggish. I want to make sure I've got a diet through the day. Later through the day, I'll read through. I'll take that portion out of the Old Testament, out of the New Testament, out of the Epistles, out of the Gospel. I'll take that and use it. You don't eat everything, hopefully, for today. You've already eaten it. You're going to eat throughout the day, aren't you, physically? Is there anything wrong with doing that spiritually? You start off with your breakfast, spiritual breakfast, your devotions through the morning, in the morning. And then as you go through each day, you have a little bit more. You might go and you might read those 10 verses out of the New Testament. You might go then and read that portion over there in the Gospels. And you just split it up through the day. But you don't want to eat everything straight up in the morning and then wonder why by the time you get to the end of the day you're running on empty, sort of thing. Try to space it through the day where you are. Taking in something spiritual as you go through. That idea of study, Ecclesiastes 12:12, and further, by these my son be admonished, of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Man, I've had enough of this study. It just wears me out. So you don't want to do that, because remember, our devotional time is for our devotions. For our heart condition, for our heart's attitude towards the Lord. We want to make sure we nothing interrupts with that. Just as some people, you know, when I said, there are two dangers using your Bible, there are some people, you know, are going to say, do I have to use my Bible? I don't want to use that Bible. It's dry as cracker juice. I get nothing out of it. It's just musty, dusty old book. I'm really happy if I don't read my Bible at all. All right, I'll read it on Sunday, but I just... Well, there are three possible reasons why you don't want to use your Bible. You have two, on one side of the ditch, too much Bible. On the other side of the ditch, there's no Bible in our lives through the week. Three reasons why is our objective. If we are using our Bible to please a loved one, I'll read it to please so and so, I'll please my mum, I'll please my dad, I'll please my husband, I'll please my wife, I'll please my pastor. Man, I just wish they'd just stop. Okay, I'll read it. If that's the reason why you read it, you'll never get nothing out of it. It's a closed book. You won't get nothing out of it. Because your goal is just to tick the sheet off to please somebody else. But it's not for you. The objective is one reason. Your outlook. Come over to Hebrews chapter 4. Let's have a look at this verse here. Your objective. What you get from your Bible is largely determined by what you bring to your Bible. If you bring to your Bible love, that's what you'll get out of it. If you come to your Bible with sincerity, that's what you'll get out of it. If you come to your Bible with doubt, that's what you'll get out of it. I don't think that book's going to speak to me today. That's exactly what you're going to get out of it. Unless God is gracious and does something otherwise. Hebrews 4 and verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. If you will go to your Bible with expectancy, with an outlook of, I believe this book is going to help me today. I believe I'm going to get something out of it. I believe there is something in this book that God's got for me. If you go to the Bible, if you approach it with that mindset, you'll find it a totally different result. Then the third O, objective, outlook, the third O is obedience. It's dangerous to learn the Bible and never live it. It's a practical book. If God would show us something, now let's turn this around. If you were to show somebody something and they didn't do it constantly, would you be prone to continue to show them stuff or just let them go? God will reveal His word to us. God will show us. But if we keep thumbing our nose at it, I'm not going to do that. There's no way I'm going to do that. God just might leave us alone until we get in such a condition that we will respond. Where we get to a place of being so hungry, say, God, I'm sorry. But three things that stops us from doing that. Had you considered we are fast running out of time? We're always running out of time. Deuteronomy 17, had you considered writing your Bible? In Deuteronomy 17, Israel was told they were going to go get a king. When you get a king, and then it says, have him write out a copy of that. Deuteronomy, let's go over there. Some of the looks. You know, calves in the new gate. I'm not saying use the calves. But they look like, does it say that there? But let's have a look at it. Let's take time. Sometimes we get too governed by time. And I got a lot I want to give. I hope I'm not boring you or bogging you down either. It's just that thing, you know, okay, we need to be mindful of time, but keep it moving as well in these things. From the paragraph mark at verse 14, Deuteronomy 17, verse 14. It talks about the call of the king in verse 14. Verse 15 talks about the choosing of a king. Verses 16, 17 talks about the conditions of the king, what he's going to do. Verses 18 to 20 tells us about the conduct of a king. So let's just read verses 18 to 20. And it shall be when he sitteth on the throne of his kingdom that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, and to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them. That his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. So we see there that a king is to do it. All the eyes of a people are on a king. The king becomes a role model. But I'm not a king. Revelation tells us that we are kings and priests under our God. So we do become a role model, we do become an influence, an example before other people around us, to both Christians, lost and saved. We are an example to both of them of something, a savior of life under life or a savior of death under death. We do leave some sort of savor, some sort of taste in people's mouths. But if we would write out God's word, There are four things there for us. Verses 19, 20 gives us four things, four benefits. He would learn to fear the Lord. He would keep all the words and do them. Verse 20, his heart be not lifted up. There's a thing of humility. And then the last part of that, he would turn not aside to the right hand nor to the left. He'll stay on track if he would write that out. As he writes out his own copy of the scriptures, of the law. So he takes that time. But why handwrite it? Handwriting is a dying art. But handwriting is slower. These people that can sit at the keyboard, and then suckers don't even look at the keyboard. They don't even look at the screen. Oh, they're watching the news. There you go. Embarrassing. Hunt and peck method. Sometimes I get real good. You handwrite it. Now, one way to handwrite it. Let's go over to Psalm 119. As an example. You know, as we slow ourselves down, you'll find that it will make a difference. If we would slow ourselves down. We slow ourselves down, we write it, we have the Bible there, we look at it. Just take 3 to 5 verses a day, have a notebook, have it divided in half. At the top of the page, you could just write the day's date. Then you could write the reference where you're writing at. It'd be Psalm 119. Let's do Psalm 119 verses 9 to 12. So Psalm 119 verses 9 to 12, 4 verses. And I'm going to start writing. On one line, I write the number 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? ? I go to a new line by taking heed thereto according to thy word. And each time as I do that,
I'm reading. I'm okay. Wherewithal. Shall a young man, I slow right down. I'm checking, I'm saying out loud, I'm writing. At each punctuation mark, drop down to a new line. By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. Question, answer. The Lord, and ask, as you slow down, you're focusing on the written word, but you're asking the living word to make it real. Slow right down and write it out. It's too easy. Oh yeah, cut and paste. No, cut and paste. Pen, paper, write it out. And as you've slowed right down, then you write 10, with my whole heart have I sought thee, colon, new line, let me not wander from thy commandments. 11, on a new line, 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart, comma, new line, that I might not sin against thee, full stop. 12, blessed art thou, comma, new line, O Lord, colon, teach me thy statutes. And as you write that down, one half of your page, be listening and see if the Lord might give you something to make a note on the other half of the page. Just slow down and let the written word become a part of your heart. And just, and it's not a raise. One time there, I've written out different books. I was in Ephesians, and I only got one verse written down. That was enough for the day. Is be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. I thought, man, that's enough for me. Lord, I don't understand what your will is for my life. And Lord, I don't want to be a fool, unwise. Lord, if I don't understand what God's will is for my life, I'm a fool. I need to find out, God, what do you want of me today? And that was, for that one day, that's all I wrote. And it was like, wow. If you'd like to do this, if you come across a verse or something that doesn't have a punctuation mark, at your own discretion, just find, okay, that's a good place to stop there. And I'll do this here. And I'll just drop down again. You just work it to suit. It's not rules as much as a living book trying to make its way, not into a heart of stone, but in the living tables of the heart. And so we live it out. The Gospel of John's a good place to start. First and Second Thessalonians. First, Second, Third John. Colossians. Philippians. I've written out Psalm 119, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, you'll be amazed with what you just slow down. Different New Testament book. The goal is, what can I write? And then, Lord, I'm going to listen. And it just slows you right down to see what God might have for us. After you finished reading your devotional book, after you finish reading the Bible or writing your Bible, put your specs on, S-P-E-C-S, specs. S is for sins to confess, P is promises to claim, E is examples to follow, C commands to obey, and S something to praise God for. I've got a whole list of spectacles. But years ago I picked up a little bookmark somewhere, it just had specs. And it had the old wire-rimmed glasses. And at the top, and it had these things down underneath. I thought, man, that's neat. And I used that for ages until it all tore up. But put your specs on. Don't let your Bible reading, your devotional time, don't let it pass by without doing something with what God's given you for that day. Okay? Another way is listen to your Bible. But again, not large portions, Just listen to your Bible. Put on a chapter of Proverbs. Put on one Psalm. Put on one gospel, or one chapter of one of the Gospels. Listen to your Bible. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Just listen. If you're going to listen to it and get distracted, oh, look at that bird flying out there, oh, I need to do those dishes and everything. No, that's obviously the wrong thing. But if you can listen to it and just take it in, again, devotionally listen to it, it makes all the difference in the world. Okay? So next time we come back, we've got two more things to cover, which will be in 2 weeks' time.